Well, greetings, friends, and welcome to the Gospel Underground Podcast. This is episode 174, The Honor Games. We are broadcasting live, well, live for us from our worldwide headquarters here in Blacksburg, Virginia. I am here on a sunny, beautiful, not too hot, not too cold. Is it still spring? I guess it's the spring,
it's
late
spring
day in Blacksburg with Jesse.
Just barely, yeah.
Barely spring still.
I still can wear a sweater. I've got my new favorite sweater on.
Let's go. And you knew coming into the lair that I live in that it's always gonna be cold
in here. Yeah. And I've got the sweater that I picked up. I picked up recently at a retreat that you really led it, and I just joined, and someone left it behind.
Really? One of the guys?
This is an Ed Marcel sweater. Our friend Ed Marcel left this behind. So I'm wearing it for when he sees this clip on Instagram.
We're doing a little bit of a zoomed out shot on you today, too. So
you can see the whole thing
with your Mac. And you can see my ice barrel outside there. It's being cleaned today.
Yeah, I was thinking about jumping in it, but it's being cleaned.
So good.
And
so
also
good.
I don't do that.
Well, Jesse, you should do that.
I probably should. I took a cold shower recently, and I was like, I could never do this.
You know, in Colorado, I was in Colorado with some friends last week, and the cold shower, cold water was so...
Was it cold?
Oh, yeah, it's so
and
cold.
And you liked it?
It's right next to a snow melt river.
Yeah, that's
I think that's where they get all their water from. Yeah.
Coors Light from.
Frost brewed. Isn't that the stupidest thing I ever said about a beer? Yeah. Frost brewed. You brew beer at like 212 degrees, right? Yeah. Anyway, we're not talking about beer. This is not the beer underground today. This is the gospel underground, and we are, Jesse, in our series on the golden rule, whatever you wish that others would do to you, whatever your wish, do also for them, for this is the law of prophets. In other words, whatever we would love, we do that in the world with others, and it's a risky thing. That's why, I don't know if you guys listened to the short episode. Jesse, I did a solo episode, maybe 171 or something like that, about doing difficult things.
Mm-hmm.
Because guys, this kind of way of living, to put yourself out there, to serve, not knowing, right, if anyone will ever do that back for you, is risky unless we see that God has our back, God will take care of us, and that we have everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who's called us. So we have to trust that, and then we have to invest in the world. And we're looking at various ways that we can put into practice, right, the golden rule. Last time we said, hey, just you got to show up, right? If you're not present with people, can't love people, can't serve people, can't be of benefit to them. And so even the act of showing up, if you'd like people to show up for you, maybe live that way in the world for others. Today, Jesse, I was struggling with a title on this one because we're going to talk about showing people honor. And I've called it the Honor Games, not just because my daughter Kayla loves the Hunger Games, and certainly it's not like that, but there's this verse in the Bible that has kind of this little word that it is a kind of a competitive word.
Yeah.
It's in Romans chapter 12. Well, how about you read Romans 12, 9 through 13?
Sure, sure. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor.
There it is. Outdo each other, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to one-up each other, here's the game. Okay, keep going.
Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality.
Okay. So what we have here, Jesse, from the apostle is this wonderful list of commands, exhortations for a certain kind of community to be formed in genuine love, hating, right? If you want to hate something, hate what's evil, hold strongly, right, to what is good, love each other as family, brotherly affection.
Yep.
And then this little end of verse 10, outdo one another in showing honor. The word here, outdo, means to go first, to lead out, be the one, right, to esteem others. Now, this is interesting because other places in the Bible, we see things like do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but consider others more important or put them first. And so here, if we want to try to go first in something, it is in this otherness of honor. It's kind of nice, right? It's kind of a, wow, that's a... That's a beautiful idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you're if you're going to be first in something, be first in
putting others first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And in some ways it's like, you know, when you see someone do something really well in an area that you have even the slightest desire to also excel in, it draws something out, right?
Right?
It goes, oh, I want to be like that, or I want to do that better, right? You think
That's
I was
right.
just watching because I typically, I think the algorithm sends me Michael Jordan clips probably because I'm on text threads with people that
think he's the GOAT over LeBron James.
Yeah, that he'll go back and forth, and yeah. I'm on the Jordan side, obviously.
Yeah, the correct side of history.
Yeah,
right?
and there was one that I saw where Kobe and him were kind of talking back and forth, and he talks in retirement about how he would want to play Kobe 1-on-1 because Kobe copied all my moves. So it'd be a close game. And I was thinking about that. Like you grow up watching somebody and you're like, all right, he's really good at this or she's really good at that. I think I could do that.
Yeah.
And that seems like that's what's like, be the person setting the tone here.
Yeah.
Show what it's like to give honor.
Yeah. This is one of the realities. Everyone knows for good or bad that people follow other people.
Yeah.
We mimic each other. It can be, you know, my mother used to say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, mm-hmm. right? Somebody copies you. They don't hate you. They think something's worthy there.
Yeah.
Right. And so, we warn kids about peer pressure because you can also like, you know, bad company corrupts good morals. Right. But there is a benefit of creating a positive culture that has momentum in outdoing one another in the right things. We see this in sports, man, for sure. You mentioned basketball and the wrestling team. You know, we see the guys that are good, they set the pace.
Yeah.
They set the pace in their training, their discipline, the way they eat, the way they go about lifting weights, the way they treat people, right? And when you have that, coaches, right, they, let's build our team around this guy, right? Because that's the kind of culture we want. Now, here we're talking about this whole idea of honor or respect, holding the other person up.
Yeah.
Even kind of publicly making them look good, right? Putting them first. And so the golden rule would call us, hey, would I like, because this is something, right? Maybe you get to be a middle-aged man and you serve lots of people and you feel like, man, I'd be nice if somebody would honor me, right?
I think that it, all the time.
In my selfishness, that's how you get there, right? You're like, you know, I'm not going to go out and do stupid stuff in middle age and try to get points and prizes from idolatry. But, you know, you kind of pour out a lot, right?
Yeah.
And then you're like, honor would sound nice. And look, here's something beautiful. Two guys, like at the retreat we were just talking about, what's up, guys? Jeff Beisel, Justin Valakat, man, they honored me so incredibly well that I was almost floored by it.
Yeah.
And what did Jeff? Jeff showed up with this knife,
the knife,
not like a Walmart knife or Cutco knife or something like that. It was like a
hand forged,
yeah, looked like a Viking could kill
Viking
you with it or
knife.
Something. Yeah,
yeah. That like, you could, but it wasn't like an unwieldy knife that you'd have to take camping or something.
I sliced pickles with it yesterday. You can cut meat with it. It's a heavy blade. It's got a little hole in it, and I was like, I don't think Jeff, you're listening. I don't think he realized how much it was a blessing to me. Right.
Yeah.
And he goes, I just figured you'd like that, and you do so much for us. I just give it to you. I'm like, wow. And then when I get home from this retreat, Juddy, I just told him there were these wireless meat probes that finally were done right because meter and all that Bluetooth stuff doesn't work. If you got a real smoker that's made of metal and stuff, it's like you can't shoot Bluetooth through the side of a submarine, right? But there's a company called ThermoWorks, right, that makes the ThermoPen, best instant read thermometer in the business. They made their own RF frequency wireless technology that can go through freaking walls and stuff. And I was telling Juddy about them, but I was like, I ain't going to buy those, man. I just had a, you know, we had these financial things in the family. I just can't justify it. Well, this dude sends them to my house. I'm going to stick them in chuck roast this week. It was so nice.
That's amazing.
To be honored that it just like cranks up your honor. I want to honor somebody. Who can I bless?
Yeah.
Right. Who can I get out there? And if you think about this kind of the honor game or competition, outdoing one another, what if that kind of competition broke out in a family?
Yeah.
Or a church, an athletic team, right? Or a business or an organization. What if that breaks out in your midst? Well, I think the word of God is telling us that, man, that'll be a blessing to all of us, right? If this kind of life could happen, right?
Yeah.
But it's risky because we're like, hey, if you're take a chance to love somebody. What if they don't love you back, right? It's how's that going to go? But the calling is to each of us.
You know, this this happened in the Bonhoeffer house, or is happening, I think, because a few years back, we realized that we're really, really good in terms of our sort of internal culture at picking on each other, like good-natured ribbing.
Guys, snarky, yeah. Sarcastic, yep. Fun. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
And I think it was probably Holly, when Holly was on our staff team, that who she enters into it.
Yeah,
she's pretty good. She's pretty good at it, and really probably picked on me more than anybody.
Yeah.
But I think she helped us see that, like, you know, there's not a lot of honor given, uh-huh. And there's a lot of sort of poking, yeah. and that's expressing love. Like we basically right. said, well, we don't want to stop doing that.
Yeah.
It's too good.
Yeah.
It's you know, we're bonding over it.
That's right.
But we probably need to balance it out a little bit, yeah. with some more like actual, hey, here's where I see the Lord working in your life, or here's something that here's a strength that I want to honor by yeah. showing other
hey,
people.
You're a good dad.
So we started doing this thing at our annual family reunion where we go kind of around the circle, around the fire pit, and we just take turns just kind of putting someone in the hot seat and saying, you know, whoever wants to say something that they, some way in which they see the Lord working in this person, speak up and honor them.
Man, I tell you what, guys, it's such a great idea and such a simple concept. If there's people that you know that you respect, right, that you really do see God working in their life, or just their character or the way they treat their kids, right? So often we can sit on that. And we're all good as a culture saying stuff we see wrong in the world.
Yeah.
But man, saying things that are good, right, beautiful, and true, and say, hey, I love this about you, mm-hmm. particularly amongst guys, I think that would be awesome. And I think Jesse, we can go first, because that's what men who are servant leaders want to live in the way of Jesus should go first. We should do this with our children, with our wives, with our friends. I struggle with receiving that, right?
Yeah.
Like I've, for years, everyone who starts to get to know me at a deeper level always said, hey, you need to be okay with people saying nice things to you or doing nice things for you. And look, I have a background in my family that I'm not used to people doing. I was always a guy, I had to show up and bear the weight and burdens and stuff. I'm not complaining about it, but, a couple guys, Elliot Grudem, some guys, James Stenziano, Dusty Thompson, guys that are in my Leaders Collective cohort. Leaders Collective is a great ministry out there, guys. You can check it out, Elliot Grudem. But they said, hey, you just need to be okay with people thinking you're a great guy and you do good things. You just need to receive that. I'm like, oh, making me uncomfortable right now, you know? Oh, man. So, Jesse, you've been good for me in that, too. And that's why I was blaming it on you at this retreat.
I wondered if you were going to mention that.
At the retreat, all these guys started doing this to me, and I thought Jesse had put him up to it. I thought
he kept looking at me, going, like, "What are you doing?
What are you doing? Why are you doing this?"
But I didn't have anything to do with it. I appreciate that you thought I did.
Yeah,
yeah. I like that you thought I did.
Yeah,
but that was our brother Eric Hughes, our Sovereign Grace brother Eric, who led that.
Yeah, it was one of the highlights of my year. Yeah. I really felt the presence of God in that. If we wish, here's the golden rule. If we wish others would respect and honor you, that's kind of nice. Well, our pathway is then to show honor to others. And we have a really good reason. If somebody said, well, why should I honor people? There's a really good anthropology that God presents to us in the Bible, that human beings, male and female, together as complements, are made in the image and likeness of God. That God, quite literally, did not make junk when he made human beings. Now, we sin and we twist ourselves and we go against God and we can distort the image, right? But human beings are worthy of dignity, honor, and respect. There's a quote from C.S. Lewis, Jesse. How about from his essay, The Weight of Glory?
Yeah.
How about you read that?
Yeah, I'll read this, because this is one of my favorite essays or sermons. He preached it, although it doesn't really preach like a sermon, but everybody should read this once.
The Weight of Glory.
Yeah,
yes,
The Weight of Glory. You can read it in an hour.
There's multiple parts of it that you've probably heard C.S. Lewis quotes from the same essay, but this is certainly part of it. Yeah.
He says, there are no ordinary people. You've never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal. And their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. Next to the blessed sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses.
Okay, so human beings are immortals. And I think there's another part in C.S. Lewis, I don't know if it's the same as he always said, if you were to see somebody in their glorified state, yeah, when they're in the kingdom of heaven, we'd be tempted to worship them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That people are holy and honorable and valuable because God made them in his image. Mm. And we don't honor one another enough. I love this. This is George Washington. I guess he wrote out this this list of things called the Rules of Civility. I believe they're out of France, like in the 16th century or 17th century or something. But he wrote them out and published them, even, I think, George Washington, our first president. And I think this is rule number one of civility. Every action done in company, that means in a group of people, right? Yeah. Every action done in company ought to be with some sign of respect to those that are present. My goodness, Jesse, how far are we away from this as a culture?
Yeah.
That everything we do in public or with other people in company should be a sign of respect to them. Man, when somebody comes to your house, how can you respect them and honor them? Mm. When you speak to a group of people, when you get in the huddle of a sports team, hey, are we here to respect and honor what we are and what we're doing together? Man, that's a game changer for our society.
Not only are we in a time that's so characterized by outrage and
flippancy, disrespect,
but also like
Twitter.
Man, I get around people that, even in the circles I'm in, sometimes I'm around people that, if you haven't led in a certain way or accomplished certain things, that they just won't talk to you.
They kind of look past you and by you.
Kind of big time,
Jesse, you want to talk about
George
Washington? One of my pet peeves in life.
George Washington would not like that. Yeah.
Yeah. One of my biggest pet peeves in life is just folks that just think they're better than you for no good reason, especially when they're not. It just gets under my skin so bad. Oh, that's part of my arrogance too. I need to repent. So this is very, very practical.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to think today, you're listening with us on here on the Underground, if you think, wow, like, let's show honor. Yay, that's great. That's great. It's a good concept that you can take with you. But we want to challenge you today in this very short episode to think strategically, who can I honor?
Yeah.
Let's do this. Let's put this on the ground, man. Let's get in the game, so to speak. And so this is a simple little exercise I want you to do if you're listening to this. I want you to say, even pray, God, who in my life do I need to honor? Might be your mom or dad, right? Because there's a command with a promise in the Ten Commandments, honor your mother and father. Maybe you need to do that, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to apologize to somebody. Maybe you need to say, hey, dad, I know it was hard, but thank you for paying some bills in my life and being there for me. So it could be your spouse, right? I know I did this exercise with my wife walking in the woods yesterday because I was like, hey, I want to honor you. Give me some game plan here. And so pray. When you pray for people, it's kind of a game changer, whether you like them or you don't like them. This is a quote, Jesse, from your namesake of your organization, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, In Life Together, which is a book Jesse and I both say, if you haven't read it, read it. Read it today. Mm-hmm. It's not very long, but this is a game changer when you think about people. To pray for them because it will put you in a better posture and place to honor them.
Yeah. He says, I can no longer condemn or hate a brother for whom I pray, no matter how much trouble he causes me. His face that hitherto may have been strange and intolerable to me is transformed in intercession into the countenance of a brother for whom Christ died, the face of a forgiven sinner.
Amen.
I find this true. If I pray for someone who is causing me a lot of trouble or who I just don't get along with or like very much, even if my prayers start as Lord, would you get them for this?
Yeah.
Would you just help them to repent?
Prayer. God, get them. Right? There's some of those in the Psalms for sure, right?
Even if it starts there, typically if I'm praying for someone, my affections are raised towards them in ways that it wasn't before I was praying.
That's right. Amen. And that's really, really good, because even like if somebody just kind of have friction with you, you don't know why, seeking to honor them can be very helpful. I think, you know, later in the same chapter, I think in Romans 12, Paul says, if your enemy is thirsty, give him a drink, right?
Yeah.
In doing so, you put burning coals on your head. You kind of like, hey, you can squash the beef and even make someone feel like, hey, wait, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
If you're kind, yeah. Right? Kindness. So just make a list. Hey, who can I honor? It may be you're having a difficult time in your marriage. Maybe one of your kids you're estranged from, your adult children, if you're a little older, maybe, and you want to think through, hey, how can I honor them? Look, don't do it with strings attached. Don't think, again, the golden rule isn't, hey, let me live this way so I can get it all back. It's no thinking what I would love and doing it anyway and doing it intentionally with them. And so begin with prayer, write their name down. And then ask the hard question, how can I show respect and honor to this person? What do I need to do, right? And look, this is okay to do this publicly, like, unless they tell you not to. My wife would never be on this podcast because she doesn't want to be on this podcast. She's very private. She doesn't want to be public, right? This is probably even too much right here. And so she's like, I love it when you praise me. To me,
yeah,
or to our children, but don't do that out in public, or don't do that at like a banquet or something. She really doesn't like it. But here's the thing: it might be self-exaltation, arrogance, pride. These are not virtues, right? But Proverbs 27:2: Let another praise you, not your own lips; a stranger, and not from your own lips. Right? It's okay if you're in a meeting at work and you just want to honor someone.
Yeah.
Say, hey, I'm thankful for Jim in the way he prepared this report for us. Mm-hmm. You're really thinking about the whole team, and we really love that about you.
Mm. I find that this is even one of those things. Like I tried to correct myself earlier in this podcast when I said this retreat we led, and I was like, well, that's not true. You led it. I joined you. Because I think
you helped a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. See, you're doing it too, but like we have our inner, PR machine that's always working.
Right.
And so I'm thinking about if you're working on a project with someone, it's natural to take credit for the things you did or to sort of go, I helped lead this thing.
Or the classic group project in school.
Right. Yep. Yep. And this is that's an opportunity to go, you know what? Actually, Reed did all the work. Jim really crushed it with this. Yeah. And that's a way to give honor publicly.
Right.
That isn't necessarily like, hey, everybody, let's look at Jim and hear, which is part of it.
That's right.
But it can just be, oh, this guy did good work.
This person, what he did. Yeah.
This woman really crushed it on this part of the project. I'm going to acknowledge that.
Amen. And this is where strategy, guys. We use strategy for all kind of things in the world, making money, winning games, whatever, man. You winning, playing poker with your buddies, you know, playing checkers with my wife. We were trying to strategize, and we whip each other in checkers the other night. It was really fun. Strategy means, hey, what can I do intentionally? Does this person, would they be blessed by giving a gift? Obviously. Yeah. Justin gave me a gift, and I was really blessed by it. Thank you, man. That was awesome. Can I write a handwritten note and slip it in someone's hand or pocket and say, hey, I see how you love your family. Keep on keeping on.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say about a word about them in public, maybe in front of people they love and respect, you know, you really honoring somebody's kid, right, in front of parents. That's something really, hey, I really love the way your kid is intentional. They serve in they don't just go to the youth thing. They show up to serve in it. I mean, I really appreciate that. And encouragement, right? The world is not overwhelmed with the amount of encouragement everyone receives.
Yeah.
And that is oxygen for everyone's life. Who can I say a word that will build them up? And it's the word, biblical word, edify, right? Build them up in their faith, in their life, in their commitments, in the duties they've been called to. How can we be an encourager?
If I can just add one and a half to that.
Yeah.
Under encouragement, a really practical thing to do is to write a card or a letter. We don't really get that. You can text. That's fine. You could call somebody. You can talk to them in person.
Don't have ChatGPT write it for you. Write it yourself.
I should have specified a handwritten card with a smudgeable signature so you know it's not stamped on or printed. I just think that can be really encouraging.
What about auto pen? Can we use auto pen for... I agree that, you know, in the world where there are increasingly digital, automated, we text, we email. Texts are great. Send a text. But it's just something different when someone puts a note. You know, Casey's boss, he's a farmer up in New Jersey. She runs agritourism. She sees thousands of kids in the fall and spring coming on the farm from New York City to see the farm in New Jersey, right? He found there was like this coffee table book at a store he was at about like blessings and encouraging thoughts. And he bought her the book, gave her an encouraging note, and that came with her paycheck this month instead of just the paycheck.
Here's the paycheck.
Yeah, it was just really kind and certainly thoughtfulness with a handwritten note, right?
You might even think of someone right now while you're listening to this that you feel like, this person's made a big difference in my life. I should write him a note. The last thing I'd add to that is I think one more practical and strategic way to show respect and honor is how you talk about someone when they're not around, when they come up. Because for me, I can pretty easily go negative. Yeah. I'm not a big gossiper, but if someone gets going, I'm like, you know what? You're right. You know, she is like that, or he does do that. Or let me tell you another story. Yeah. Like it's just, and so it's a practice for me to speak words that are honoring so that if it gets back to this person, and I try not to do this in order to get it back.
Yeah,
like let me sort of, you know, manipulate things. I try not to do that, but I want it to, if this person hears what I said about them, I want them to be surprised by the honor. Like, oh, that's really cool that he thinks that.
And we've probably all had this circumstance in life where we probably said something we shouldn't say about somebody and it did get back to them. And you have this sinking physiological feeling in your body thinking, oh, I just blown it. I'm a jerk. Well, it doesn't have to be that way. Yeah. You could actually restrain the tongue. James 3 would tell us to do that. And then also unleash it with
honor.
And then look, Jesse, if we have that kind of competition, if we're playing the honor game,
that's right,
man, we're going to do so much better. And our families, our churches, our communities, our businesses, our athletic teams, whatever it is you're in, you're not going to be a poison pill in that place. You're going to be a person of blessing, right?
Amen.
And then maybe we'll grab some teammates and we do this thing. And man, if you do that as a family, send your family out to infect the world with the goodness and grace of God, living in the way of Jesus, right? Who said, do unto others the way we'd have them do unto us. So yeah, it's the Gospel Underground Podcast. Jesse's partnered with Bonhoeffer House, where they train young men in and for the church. Review us on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon. Jesse, we need to get on YouTubes, man. I think we need to get on the YouTubes. Send your if you have skills in getting some podcasts on the YouTubes, let us know. Send your comment, feedback to us, and questions to here at the Underground at info@gospelunderground.org. We're a dialogue taking place in the borderlands between the church and culture, making a difference, living that dream in the world, creating new culture. We hope to see you there. Peace.
Peace.
Go honor somebody.